Welcome everyone to our evening service. I also just want to say a special welcome to my mom-in-law that is here. This beautiful lady sitting right here in the front is my mom-in-law. She came to visit us this weekend, and so now she's here tonight as well. So thank you, Mom. It's so lovely to have you here. So for everyone who maybe missed the last 2 weeks, or maybe you missed one of the services, we have kind of sort of, without planning, it started this series. Bernie was very happy today when he saw my sermon also has the battle ready in it. And then I said, yeah, we're doing a series now. It kind of happened. So just so you know, it wasn't planned. But what actually happened was some of the people in the intercession team had dreams and visions that they got from God. And they shared that with Bernie, and Bernie took it to us in the office, and we all just in agreement said, this is from God, and this is for us right now, and we need to pray through this. We need to talk through this. And I really just want to say, it is not often that you can get to be in a church where you actually get to do that. A lot of times we hear about this in intercession, and we pray about it there, and then we go on. But I must say, for me, this is the first time that I'm actually in a service, in a couple of services that we actually get to now talk through it and pray through it and work through it. And so I really want to thank Tiens and Bernie for your obedience in this and for allowing us as a church to actually to wrestle with this and chew on it and spit out the bones and keep the meat and really make this something that we walk in by faith. So a quick recap, because there's no way I can do a proper summary of two incredible sermons that was quite long. You need to go and download it. It is so important right now that we are in agreement in the season that we find ourselves in. And if you are a little bit lost tonight, I want to apologize to our visitors here tonight. It's okay if you feel a little bit lost in the beginning. I'll try and help as much as I can. But please go and download the last 2 weeks' sermons. 2 weeks ago, Bernie basically just shared with us the dreams, and I'm not going to go into that again, and he basically said to us that, yes, we are in a battle, and I'll never forget everyone's heads were going like, yes, I feel like I'm in a battle, okay? Yes, we're finding ourselves in a battle. In the beginning of the year, God said to us, this is the year of freedom and favor, and a lot of us were saying, we're experiencing the favor, but where's the freedom? And he basically just shared with us that freedom doesn't always look the way that we think it should look, but that doesn't mean that it's not there, and basically challenging us to not let go of what God has called us to do, to not give up. There's so much that he said that night that was really profound. Go and download it. He also made a reference to the movie Unbreakable, and if you have seen the movie, you will understand the sermon. I think it really helped a lot. Then Tiens, last week, spoke about the other dream that referred to the tools that we have in our hands, and that we are fit and ready for battle. And he basically just, to summarize, said, do not despise the tools that we find in our hands. In other words, the gifts, what we are busy with, to not despise what God has given us to do. And what I also thought was beautiful was just the reference that we are also in a body, and all of us have a role to play within that body, and to not despise the place that God has planted us for. All right. So that is a very short summary of the two sermons. You can go and listen to it. So tonight, I'm going to continue with the other dream that we got, and I'm actually going to work through it and read through it in two parts. And when I read this dream, I really felt such a conviction of God, firstly for me personally, just things that I had to go and think about and pray through, but also for us as a church. And it was just so obvious for me that this dream was the very heart of what God is warning us about and what he is also encouraging us to. Okay. So the dream, part one. We were a team climbing mountains, dangerous territory on high cliffs. As we were climbing, I noticed snakes lying around. No one else noticed them. As the people were climbing, I could see that they missed the snakes by a few inches. The snakes snapped and tried to bite them, but could not. Let's wait there. So firstly, I want us to quickly look and analyze this dream. I love doing that. If you've been in any of my sermons, you know that I love doing this. So this is what we're going to do. I want you to see that it says we were a team. And I love the fact that when God speaks to us, he doesn't always speak in the same way and not always in the conventional way, but yes, he speaks to us in dreams, and yes, he speaks to us in visions, and yes, he can speak to you by bringing a friend into your life and they're giving you a word. If you are ever unsure whether that is from God or not, go to the word, check. take it to someone that you trust. Check, make sure. And that's what we did with these dreams, and that's why I'm so excited to share this with you tonight. Because in this dream that God gave this person, it was very obvious that it wasn't a lone ranger kind of dream. It wasn't this cowboy going up the hill and shooting and doing his own thing and having a great time. It was a team. And I want to say, this is such an important part of this whole dream, to recognize that God is already saying, don't be alone. There's such a blessing in finding ourselves in community. And I love that Hada said that now as well. That is such a practical example of knowing you're part of a family. Having that person that she messaged, and like a flame, it was just going through the church. Everyone knew about it. I can't even remember who told me, and I found out about it as well. And that's the power and unity of knowing you're not alone. That is not God's heart. God's heart is community. Then I love the fact that it actually says in this dream, or what he saw in this dream, that it was a dangerous territory. And yes, it was high up. And that there were snakes lying all around. Okay? And then, obviously, the storyteller itself, they saw the snakes, but no one else did. And I love that they even said that. That in this dream, God made it obvious no one saw the snakes. And I had to ask God, but why? Why didn't anyone see them? I would definitely see them. I would definitely notice the high cliffs. I would definitely notice the rough terrain. And yes, I would notice a snake, and you would hear me noticing the snake. So why didn't they see them? And I think the answer is quite obvious, isn't it? Because this group were on their way, focusing straight ahead on where they were going. And that's why they weren't distracted with the stuff around them. Their eye was on the prize, the reward that was awaiting them at the top. And no, we don't know what the reward is literally, but we have a pretty good idea. In the natural, as an example, the first time that I ever went to the Drakensberg was actually with Murray and his family. And you have to understand that when I went, this was the first time in my whole life that I went camping, because as you can see, I'm not the camping girl. And at this stage as well, Murray and I weren't dating. In fact, he didn't even like me that much at that stage yet. So this had to work. I had to suck it up, and I had to go because his family was there. I had to camp, okay? And we took some of the friends with us, and I was so excited because I'd never been there, and it's beautiful. Has anyone else been to the Drakensberg? Yay, okay, so you know how gorgeous it is. All right, so everything went well, and Murray said to all of us, the friends that were there as well, let's go for a hike up this mountain. Now, I'm telling the story as if this was the most hectic mountain in the world. It was not. I know that. Murray is shaking his head. But if you don't hike or climb mountains every weekend, it really felt like Table Mountain hiking, okay? So we were going up this mountain, and I remember halfway, I was dying. I was like out of breath. I'm so unfit. I'm not hiking fit at all. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm sweaty, you know, and I'm not going to say a word because Murray is climbing here next to me, and I'm like not going to say a thing. And I remember in my mind, I was just going, just focus on the top, just focus on the top, because all I thought in my head was, I know it's going to be worth it when I get to the top. And that's how I kept myself motivated, no matter what. And then the point of the story is when all of us reached the top, it was so wonderful. Everyone obviously exhausted. We all just collapsed, sat down, went completely quiet, and we were in awe of what we saw. It was just this beautiful landscape that stretched on, and it's just mountains, and the sun was perfect. You know, God couldn't have showed up more if he wanted to. It was like this picture-perfect Instagram hashtag moment right there, okay? And we were all quiet, and we didn't say to each other, please stop talking, we want to appreciate this now. It just happened. It was evoked. It was something that just happened, because when you get there and you see this is the reward, this made it all worth it, this made my out of breath and sweatiness and scratches on my legs, made it worth it. And I remember us eating even in silence, because we couldn't stop just appreciating this. And that's the point of them as well, this team going up. That's kind of what I felt. That's why they weren't getting distracted by everything on the ground and the high cliffs, because all they could see in front of them was the reward. And in a spiritual sense, we know that our reward is God. He is the reward. And what he is calling us to do and what he is calling us towards is what makes us completely focused and our eyes on the prize. Because all we see is him and all we hear is him calling us closer. Okay? And then the last part, which I must say, I love that God, even in his dream, as a sense of humor, and he says this, that the snakes that was all around, they were just a couple of inches away. They were snapping and trying to bite, but they could not. And this really speaks of the spiritual order, how God just establishes that even in a dream. Because here's the obvious thing when it comes to spiritual warfare. Yes, all the snakes that now are lying around, and in this dream, the snakes are representative of distractions and temptations, things in our life that are snapping at us and trying to get our attention and trying to get us to look away from the prize and look towards them. All they can do is snap, and all they can do is dangle a carrot, but they cannot force themselves upon us. The enemy can try and speak to us and minister to us and lure us to look away, but he cannot force our eyes on him. Isn't that a beautiful reassurance of God's order? In fact, it reminded me of a scripture in Proverbs 4, verse 23, that says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path for your feet. And be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." Keeping our eyes on the prize. This is a double-sided coin, though, because just as much as the enemy, in whatever form, and in this dream he was a snake, okay, cannot force himself upon us, God loves us enough to also not do the same. God has given us the choice to also choose him or to not choose him. God, the gentleman that he is, can be in front of us. He can call us out. He can put people in our life. He can give us the word, which he did, that constantly encourages us, exactly like the scripture, keep your eyes on me. Look at me. Do not look to the left. But at the end of the day, the choice is in our heart and in our head. And therefore, I want to say the battle, the greatest battle that we sometimes face is in our mind and in our heart. There's a reason why Tani Joyce Meyer literally wrote the whole book about it. Okay. The choice is ours. And that's why this dream actually starts with something that shows the positive side but already gives us the warning. There's a choice here. And the choice for us is to go, I choose to focus on God and I choose not to get distracted. Okay? But I want us to look at the second part. Then one guy noticed a snake and reached out to it. Now I want us to stop there. I want you to see that it says that the guy noticed the snake. In other words, the only way he could have noticed it is when he took his eyes off the prize. And all of us are so judgmental, and we look at this poor person represented in the dream and we go, how stupid can you be? Okay? Not only does he notice the snake, wait for it, he reaches out to the snake. Okay? Everyone knows you don't reach out to the snake. You just don't. Okay? All of us think like that. All of us, when we hear other people's mistakes that they made, even though we say, oh, shame, in our head we go, how could you be so dumb? Obviously, you shouldn't have done that, you know? But here's the thing. The fact that it first mentions him noticing it before he stretches out speaks of that battle. Because it's not a look and reach. It's a, ooh, this looks good in looking back. Oh, and it's this. In a very practical way, it's that voice that doesn't want to stop talking. I remember I said to Tiens once when I was going through a season that it felt like a noise in my head. I said to him, in Afrikaans, I said, my kop ras, okay? My head is making a noise, okay? Because I know what I'm supposed to look at, but the stuff, the snapping is so loud, I can't not look. And at some point, what happens, and this happens to all of us, every single one of us sitting here, our snakes look different, but they're there. All of a sudden, this thing starts looking good, and it sounds reasonable, and it sounds completely true. And it sounds wonderful. And that's how the just kind of glancing becomes looking, becomes reaching out. And then we see what happens. He got bit by the snake. And then the sad part is everyone stopped. Everyone was attending to him. They bound his hand and they tried to get him out. And then they ended up in a mall and fed him McDonald's. Okay. You know what's funny? When I said this morning, no one laughed. And I just realized it's because everyone sitting here doesn't really go to McDonald's. And everyone in the morning who's got children have discovered McDonald's. Okay. Yo, all the dads, you're not allowed to say that I just said that. Okay. Please forgive me. Oh my goodness, this morning it sounded like I was knocking McDonald's. I'm not knocking McDonald's from this point onwards. It's just a reference, okay? I'm just saying this on the recording, okay? Because here's the beauty of this dream. Everyone is going somewhere, and everyone is busy with a goal, something that's calling them to do this together. And all of a sudden, because of one person that got distracted to the point of doing something obviously stupid, got bitten, and they lost focus so completely that they end up in a place like McDonald's, and they lost all purpose. And now they're sitting there, and they can't even really remember. They're kind of waiting for help. But I almost felt a sense of, what are we doing here again? Oh, yeah, we're waiting for help. Oh, yeah, okay, while eating. What are we, like, that noise, that constant buzz where you forget what you were busy with in the first place. You forget that you were actually on a mountain going somewhere and doing something amazing, even though it is hard. Two great examples in the Bible for me personally that shows this exact thing happening. And all of you will have your examples, and that's great. But I thought these two guys, for me, most of us know their stories very, very well. But there's one incident in both of their lives that reflected the exact same thing. Joseph's story, you have homework for this week. Go and read all the chapters and stuff. Genesis 37 to Genesis 50. David's story, 1 Samuel 16 to 1 Kings 2. Okay? Go and read it. Incredible stories. It's important to have context if you're not sure exactly what I'm mentioning tonight. But the highlights is both of these men clearly had incredible callings on their life. Both of these men were the odd ones out in their family, the ones that didn't really were favored or celebrated in their family. Both of these men had crazy mountains to climb. Okay, we all have mountains here, and all our mountains look different. But I think Joseph and David's mountains were exceptionally difficult and hard at times. Both of them had incredible people around them that spoke into their life and played pivotal roles for them to get where they needed to go. And both of them clearly had God in their life. And God was with them, and people outside noticed it and recognized it in their life. Okay, but both of them had a snake come into their life in the form of a married woman. And I just want to say this again as well. I am a woman, so this is not a knock to ladies, okay? I would not use this example if that's what I was trying to do. It's an example, okay? But for David and Joseph, for whatever reason, the enemy knew where their weakness was, okay? And so this woman comes into the picture. Yes, both of them, it was for different reasons, but it was still a woman. She was married. And as we know, now they faced a a choice. And we know Joseph's story. We know that Joseph ran. Okay. I would so love to see this somewhere in a DVD. If I'm in heaven, I'm going to ask, please, could I just see the scene of this Joseph running away from this beautiful woman throwing herself on him? Because that's not normal today. In today's age, when that happens, you give in. It's kind of, that's more acceptable. It's not normal to see a guy running, okay? But he ran. But why? Because his eye was on the prize. Because in that moment, he realized, yes, I can take her. And yes, she's beautiful. And yes, it would be easy. Because she's literally making it really easy for me. But I want more. I want more than just a quick satisfaction. I want that. I want God. Because he is the first reward. He is the first prize. Secondly, there's clearly a calling on my life. He knew it even in his ignorant days and he shared it with his brothers. We all know the story. He knew it and he decided in that moment, I choose God. I choose to keep my eye on the prize. I choose to go forward and not look to the side and not let the snake bite me. Okay? Can I tell you what's amazing? That choice, that one choice, had such a ripple effect in his life. Yes, first he ended up in prison, which might look like, well, how did that help? But if he wasn't in the prison, he would not have ended up in the end in front of the king, in front of Pharaoh. And if it wasn't for that, Pharaoh would never probably have given him control of everything that he owned. And if it wasn't for that, Egypt probably might have never, we don't know, become the powerful nation that they were in that time and so influential in the world. And wait for it. If it wasn't for that, he wouldn't have been able to save his family as well as the whole generation and generations after them, because it was the mighty nation of Israel that came out of his lineage. One choice. We never think about that. I can't stand here and say if he had gone for her, this wouldn't have happened. But it is beautiful for me that it's in the Word to see he ran and God honored him. And then we look at David. And I must tell you, of the two, I would have thought David would definitely be the one to run. He was the guy that killed Goliath. He was the guy that fought a lion and a bear, okay? He was the guy that went into war with all these men around him, raised up the mighty 300 men. I mean, he was that guy. He became king. I really, honestly, I was rooting for David, okay? And unfortunately, his choice was not just to look at the snake, but to stretch out his hand, and then he got bitten. And the consequences of that one choice led to one lie, to another lie, to another lie. And it rippled effect into his family. Go and read it. The curse on his life because of that one choice can be seen throughout his generations. And yes, I want to say, he repented before God. He broke his heart before the Lord. He asked forgiveness. God saved him. God forgave him. That's why today still everyone knows David as the man after God's heart. And he's still known as one of the greatest kings. And we still sing his songs in church. God redeemed his story. And I want to say this as well. There's nothing that we can do that is too big for God to forgive. I mean, if Jesus himself went into the desert and was also tempted, he knows, he understands, and he forgave David. But there was consequences to the choice. And David accepted that. One choice. And that makes me go, Lord, maybe my snake is not as hectic as what David and Joseph had to face. But how much of a ripple effect can that one choice have in my life? All of us sitting here tonight are busy up a mountain. Every one of us. And right now, you are busy making decisions based on what? You know, we're thinking about things like, how are we going to spend our money next? Where are we going to live next? You know, the theme for a lot of us this year, because it's been really rough to live in Cape Town, is maybe I must just move somewhere else, okay? Spiritually and naturally, it's rough to live here. Maybe I must move somewhere else. In fact, can I share with you this? I said to Mary, we went to George over the long weekend. And I must tell you, as much as I love working for the church and being in ministry, there are definitely times that I also don't want to be here, and I don't want to work here, and I don't want to sit with people, and I don't want to prepare for sermons. And then I say to Mary, we're going, and George driving around there, and all of a sudden, this noise. I find myself in McDonald's, and I find myself looking around and going, you know what? Maybe this is actually a great option for us. Maybe we should buy a house here and raise our kiddies here, and it's just going to be wonderful. And spiritually, I can hear the Lord here. My goodness. And then Mary turns to me and says, no. Because the Lord has called us to Cape Town. God has called us to be here. So I'm going to be honest and say, at first, I didn't have the greatest response. I was a little bit thick lip. Because obviously it looks better. And I remember us coming back, and I kept saying to him, you know, okay, all right, maybe we should just move out to the suburbs, because then at least it's not so hectic spiritually, you know, and we can just go, it will feel like a holiday every time we drive out of the city, okay? And again, Mary says to me, no. Not just because it's prettier, okay, and the coffee is great, but because God said to us, you're going to live in the city. We need to be here. And yes, it sacrifices sometimes, but you need to be here. All right, so that's also a snake, by the way. And if I didn't have the husband that I did, that knows the Lord, and gave me a clap in the natural and the spiritual way, if he didn't do that, I went too far. He would never, okay. But if I didn't have a husband who stood up for what he absolutely believes in, if I didn't have a husband who's looking at there and going, he is looking at the prize and you're getting distracted, come here, we're looking, you're there. And literally within 24 hours, I said to him, what was going on with me? What was going on? Noise. My corporas, all right. McDonald's, okay. That's also an example. And yes, it's maybe not a massive sinful example, but it would have changed the course of my life. I want us to look at Philippians 3 verse 12, and I'm reading from the Message version. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I'm well on my way, reaching on for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal. Those of us who want everything God has for us. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Stick with me, friends. Keep track of those you see running the same course, headed for the same goal. There are many out there taking other paths, choosing other goals, and trying to get you to go along with them. I've warned you of them many times. Sadly, I'm having to do it again. All they want is easy street. They hate Christ's cross. I want to stop there just for a moment. Why do they hate Christ's cross? Because it represents God laying down his life for us and asking us to lay down our life for him. And in other words, that is saying, you are not your own. I'm not my own. I'm God's. And that means giving up my freedom, my selfishness, my covetousness, the things that are all about me. That's why it's hard. It's hard for people to follow God because they fear that they're going to have to give up everything that they want. And in a sense, I'm going to say it is true. But it's more about giving up freedom than anything else. And the honest answer is, in God, there's more freedom than anywhere else. They hate Christ's cross, but Easy Street is a dead-end street. Those who live there make their bellies their gods. All they can think of is their appetites. But there's far more to life for us. We're citizens of high heaven. We're waiting the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. He'll make us beautiful and whole with the same powerful skill by which he is putting everything as it should be, under and around him. Go and read that scripture again this week. It's a lot. Go and meditate on this. We have a choice in our heart and in our minds. And yes, I'm not saying this lightly. I don't know what it is that's calling you, what it is that's snapping at your feet, dangling a carrot in front of you, and sometimes it feels impossible to say no. Sometimes we have so much noise in our head that we don't even know what's right and wrong anymore. But I want to say to you tonight, if we choose God, the reward is eternal. And there's a reason why God says, I want you to finish the race well. Not just sort of surviving, dragging on our fingertips to get out there. Because even while we're on this road, up this mountain, we are not alone. And that's probably the biggest lie that the enemy comes and snaps at us. You're alone. No one cares about you. God doesn't even care about you. It is not true. Look around. Look at the people in your life. Look at your family. You are not alone. And God is the God that cannot tell a lie. He cannot deny himself. And if he says, I am with you and I am for you, I will not leave you, not forsake you, do not fear, we need to take that seriously. Because when he speaks, his word is life. That's why I love the songs that we picked. Thank you, Ifya. We will not be afraid. We will not be intimidated. You look at that snake and you go, you will not minister to me. The saddest thing for me is to see people that are on their way and by one small little gesture on the side get distracted. And I don't have time to share the whole story tonight, but I want to say to you, personally, I had almost not made it here. God called me when I was young. I was in standard 9, and I know a lot of people say, school kids, oh, what do you know? What do you really know about what you want to do with your life? I wasn't that kind of person. I took stuff very seriously. I got saved in standard 7, and I took it very seriously. And in standard 9, at a camp, a specific moment, God gave me a scripture and called me into ministry. And he confirmed that by two other people on the same weekend with the same scripture and visions that they had of me in ministry. Not any specific role, can I just say that? It was just, you're coming to serve me, basically. And I was so excited. I had my eye on the prize. I felt God saying to me, you need to know about spiritual warfare. You need to make sure you understand what you're up against. And I was young, so I was like a sponge. I was reading everything and every book, and I was so excited. And in comes Mr. Snake. And I'll never forget it. It started with one conversation. Now, again, I want to say, I take full responsibility. Full responsibility, because the choice was in my hands. He was just a pawn, a part of a bigger picture. And I also just want to add, praise the Lord, that guy today is saved, spirit-filled, he's married to a great woman, serving the Lord. God redeems. God uses everything for his good purposes. Amen. But yes, that first conversation changed everything. And I went from absolutely sure that I'm going to wait until I'm married. I want to be pure before the Lord. I'm going to do this no matter what any of my friends or anyone else around me said. I was an absolute nerd in some senses. I really just wanted to follow the Lord. And one conversation started me going, oh, this snakes looks interesting. And I started from, no, no, I will never do this, to, is it really so bad? Is it really not right? Is sex before marriage really not the same as marriage? If we're really committed, but I mean, the word says honor the marriage bed, and if that's the bed, then obviously, and all of you sitting here smiling at me going, really, you were that dumb? But can I tell you, the enemy doesn't come straightforward in your face and he makes it obvious. We learn to see it quicker. But I was young, and I didn't see the signs, and I was isolated at that point. And I sincerely, beautifully got so deceived that I even used scripture to justify the fact that I was not going to sleep with this boy. And all of a sudden, I forgot about what God had called me to do. I got focused on money. I started going, I need to do something that's going to make money. I went from wanting to go to Stellenbosch to going to Pretoria, because that's where he lived. I changed my course 3 times in 1 year. I was so confused. I completely forgot what God had called me to do. One choice. And finally, the relationship ended because my family were on their knees praying death over this relationship, calling me back to the church. Guys, you must honor your family. They're the ones that are praying for you. Thank you, Mom, and all the grannies and the grandpas that do that for us. And I got back into church 6 months only after I was in church in Shofar in Pretoria. My sister made sure I got into a shofar, my goodness. I wasn't going to miss the truth. Okay. And I maybe just want to add, in that time before I got into the church, do you know how many times God sent people over my way? Do you know that I ended up somewhere in a church service where the whole sermon was about not having sex before marriage? I mean, God was really also snapping from the front, okay? The choice was mine. He couldn't force me to come back. I had to choose. And then finally, I'm back in church, and I repented, and I broke my word before the Lord. I said, I'm sorry. I knew the truth, and I walked away. But 6 months only later, I sat in the service, and the whole sermon was based around the scripture that God gave me on that camp. And I remember going ice cold. And all of a sudden, I remembered, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? I threw it away. And now I was stuck in a course of musical theater. But God knew. I had to humble myself. I had to come before the Lord and humble myself. And my dad had said also, now you're going to finish this. And I was in the beginning of a 3-year course now. And I must tell you, looking back, yes, it was really hard. Because my eye was now back on the prize and I'm stuck doing dance and drama and having to fight with lecturers about not wanting to do nude things and swearing and not wanting to blaspheme the name of the Lord, not wanting to play a stripper in a freaking musical type of fights, you know? And sometimes I won. Sometimes they respected me for it. Sometimes I failed and I would stay at home and cry and I would skip class. I was not the model student. And those 3 years felt like 10 years, I promise you. But God used even that. The 3 people that I invited to church ended up starting small groups. And the next thing, the whole department was full of small groups from Shofar. And whether we did it right or not, oh my goodness, we had to repent so many times. People got saved. And I only found this out later when I was already in Cape Town, that apparently the numbers grew so much. And all those people had so much favor because they were called for the industry. They were called to be there. They got all the leads, all the great marks they got, and still today, they got so much favor in the industry. And long story short, they had to do a production there that I won't name the name, and it is really not a very good, it's very dodgy, and all these Christians stood up and said, we're not going to do the audition. We're actually boycotting the audition. They still went ahead and did the musical, and for the first time in the history of that department, it had to get canceled because it was so bad. Because all the good people, the really good actors, had boycotted this. Now, I'm saying this not lightly. I can't say for a fact this and this and this happened because of this. But God still honored the time that I was there. God honored my friends for standing up for what was right. And he's still honoring them in the industry. And yes, fast forward, when I got the open door and Tien's made a way for me to get a job as an admin person in this church, I grabbed it. Anything to get back on track. And 2 years ago, God gave me an opportunity to be more involved with people and to do more the ministry side. And I'm still not there. I don't know what there is, but at least I know God has said I'm going to be here to serve, and that's why I'm here. I want you to seriously look at your life and search your heart tonight. Are you keeping your eyes on the prize? I want you to seriously consider the noise around you. Is it God or is it McDonald's? Now no one's laughing. Okay. How do we do that? Battle ready, how to keep my eyes on the prize. Number one, study the word. Know God and know the truth. Because I'm telling you now, if I could go back to that first conversation, I would throw scripture like crazy. I will not be deceived. I will know my word. I will know the truth. We are too easily thrown by clever philosophies. By people that sound like they know everything. If you don't know the word, you're going to get deceived. And then you can't look at me and go, how could I have done that? Because sometimes it doesn't look as obvious. Sometimes it really does look like the truth. Know the word, because if you know the word, you will also know God. God is the word, and the word is life. Number two, stay in community with like-minded people. Do not get isolated. Cape Town, I want to say this to Cape Town. Do not get isolated, okay? Why do we do this when we move here? We go into this little hole and we only have our two friends and we stay there. No. If you want to make sure that you're staying on the track and you're keeping your eyes on God and Him as the reward and the calling that He has on your life, stay in community. Be among people that are focused on the same thing as you, and that is God. You need people around you that sometimes in love and sometimes with a very hard slap can tell you, what are you thinking? This is not of the Lord. And I love you, and I'm not going to let you sit here and talk about this. We need those people. That is real friendship. That is real love. Someone that loves you enough to question you and challenge you with the truth. And if you're sitting here tonight and you go, I don't know if I have friends like that. We're going to pray tonight that God sends that people over your path. Or I'm going to pray that you actually accept the invitation that's been knocking on your door. Amen? Three, write down and remind yourself of His promises. That is the reason that I haven't left yet. Because every time that I feel the noise is getting too loud around me, I go back to that journal that I still have in my bad handwriting with the date, with the scripture, with the people that said it over me, and I say to myself, God has called you. Do not get distracted. What is that thing that God has called you for? What is the thing that He has voiced to you clearly? Do not get distracted. And finally, the exciting part, wear His armor daily. Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18. And I just summarized it on the next page. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of truth. And what it also says in that passage that I love, praying without ceasing and having done all to stand firm. This is not a, oh, this is so hard. This is a, my God is God. He is in control. He is mighty. He is all-powerful. I am not alone. I'm not intimidated. I will not be fooled because I know the one that I love. And I know that He loves me, and I'm choosing Him. This is a victorious cry for standing up for Him. I want you to stand with me quickly. And the band can also come to the front. In Psalm 51, this was the psalm that David wrote after this terrible decision in his life. And after the prophet came and after he had now come to God, this is the psalm that he wrote. I didn't put all of it there. It's a long psalm. You can go and read it. But I just highlighted things that I felt God saying this is that I need to read tonight. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Against you, you only have I sinned. Behold, you delight in truth and in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite, remorseful, repentant heart. O God, you will not despise. I want you to hear tonight that shame should never be the reason for us to not get our eyes back on God and to not want to ask for help. I don't know all your stories. I don't know your mountains. If we had time, I would ask each of you personally. But I love the fact that David's response to getting sidetracked was immediately, Lord, I choose you. Come and make my heart right. Align my heart with yours. Come and renew a spirit within me that is you. That song that we sang, I want a heart that is like yours, a humble heart. That's God, that's what God wants. Not perfection. He doesn't expect us to go up this mountain and get it right perfectly. But he does say to us, my grace is sufficient for you. But then we must come. And I want everyone to quickly close your eyes. And this is really not a time to look around and see who else is busy with anything. This is between you and God. The first thing that I'm going to ask, I'm not going to call you to the front. I just felt this is really personal, and for someone here, I don't want anything to make you feel you can't get this off your shoulders. If you are that person tonight that, like me, got completely sidetracked, and you're still following the Lord, but you have got bitten. You got distracted by something that looked promising, and you reached out and you got bitten. And you are feeling so ashamed, and all you want to do is make this right. And somehow you feel like the noise is overwhelming. God is saying to you tonight, you know my voice. You know that I love you. You know that I'm for you. I want you to choose me now. It's not too late. You can get back on track. You can keep your eye on me again. My grace is enough for you. And if you humbly want to come tonight and say to the Lord, honestly, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to repent before you. I want to get back to my first love. I want to get back on this mountain, going forward, looking at you. While every eye is closed, please let's respect this. I want that person or those people to quickly raise your hand. You can look at me. If you see that I've seen you, you can put your hand down. If there's anyone like that, thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the hands. Praise the Lord. Anyone else that wants to join these people, make sure that I saw you. Thank you. Anyone else, I'm not going to rush this. I know exactly what this feels like. If you want to tonight, thank you. Say to the Lord, I want to join the people who's put their hands up. I want to say, God, yes, I was bitten. Yes, I'm ashamed. But I am sorry, Lord, and I want to come back to getting up the mountain. Anyone else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I want to thank you for every brave person tonight. Thank you for the courage to acknowledge that they want to get back on the road, that they want to stop the poison of the snake tonight. And thank you that in God's house there is no shame and there will be no condemnation. Shame will no longer keep you from continuing on the road that God had called you to. And so in the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray over every person tonight that got bitten and have put up their hand. In the name of Jesus, your eyes will lift up to God again. Your heart will be a fixed point unto the Lord. Your true north will be the Lord Jesus Christ once again. You will not look to the left or the right. You will not be tempted again because you know that snake's voice. You've exposed it for what it is. And you want the Lord. And so, Father, I speak over them tonight wisdom. I speak over them tonight faith to continue on this road, to keep looking ahead. I pray, Father, they will recognize tonight they're not alone. They're not standing here alone. How many hands went up, Father? We are not alone. And that shame has no more space to minister. And I pray in the name of Jesus that those voices, that noise in their head will stop tonight. We ask for that. We ask in faith, Father. And I pray that in the place of that, your voice will be clear as day. That you as their shepherd will speak to them at night. You will give them dreams. You will call them by name. And they will know they're on the right track again. Father, I also want to pray for people around them. I pray for people around them that will help them on this road. That will help to remind them why they're on this mountain and why they're going up there. People that are like-minded, people that love you and fear you. And I want to ask you tonight, you don't even have to look at me, you know who you were when you put up your hand. I want to ask you this week, go and tell your close friends or someone that you trust or someone that you love, it can be your small group leader as well, tell them, I've made this decision. I'm not going to be isolated ever again. Here I am. I'm giving you the place to speak to me if you hear there's noise in my head again. And so, Father, I ask for grace in this time. I ask for grace in this season that they will not be taken out, that there will be grace for them to get the strength to keep going once again. Thank you, Father. Lord, we celebrate them. We celebrate each of them tonight. We thank you, Father, for the hope that is bigger than shame, for the faith that is so much greater than fear, for a love that compels and draws them. Thank you, Father. Then the second group, and this group, you're not going to stay in your seats. Because I feel this shouldn't be a place of shame. This house is not a house of shame. And there's blessing in unity, and there's blessing in being celebrated and standing up together. Okay? The first group, I just felt God saying, this is between me and them. I'm honoring that. But the second group, I felt God saying, I want it to be a public celebration. If you here tonight are finding yourself in a place where you are trying to keep your eye on the prize, but these snakes are snapping around you so loudly, you are struggling, you are hearing noise, you even feel like you're almost on your way to McDonald's, but you're not there yet. But you're struggling to hear the truth from the lie. You're struggling to discern. You're struggling to see why you're even still in church. Why you're even still in the work that you are, in the family that you are, the marriage that you are. You are really struggling with the battle in your mind. And you haven't acted on it yet, but it's going on in your mind. If that is you tonight and you want to say, I want to stop those voices. I do not want to allow the noise to continue anymore. I want to hear God's voice. I want wisdom. I want direction. I don't want this noise. And you're not alone. I've said this to the colleagues in the office, to my husband. You've heard my testimonies. It happens. But we need to sometimes just acknowledge it. I want you to come to the front very quickly. Bring your stuff with you. And as you're coming, I want facilitators to come as well. And I want us to anoint you and pray for you for that noise to stop tonight. That no more noise will minister, no more deception, no more distractions that is not of God. Let's do this together. And I want to encourage those that put up their hands before, if you feel that you want to be here in any case, you just want to be anointed and you want to say and acknowledge it, you're also welcome to come. But everyone else, I want you to come quickly. So quickly, let's come to the front. And again, I want to say, don't let the shame minister now. This is the part where the battle happens. You get up, you fight back, and you say, I'm going to make sure I'm standing in the front. And as we see people in the front, can I ask that the facilitators just come and stand with someone so that I can see everyone as someone praying with them? And don't pray for them just yet. Anyone else? I feel there's people that are supposed to be in the front and you are too scared of what everyone else is going to think or what someone else might know about your testimony or your story, what you're struggling with. Stop listening to those voices. This is what it means to be in a battle. And the battle is already winning when you come to the front. When you acknowledge that I want to fight this with someone. And if you are standing in the back and you know that you've got victory over those noises, we praise the Lord for you. And you're going to pray for the people in the front here. I need two more volunteers here on my left. Male and female, although. Okay. Then I want everyone in the front, I'm so sorry I'm interrupting you while you're praying. I want you to quickly look at me. Everyone that responded with your facilitator, just quickly, I'm so sorry, just pause for 1 second. I want to say this to you. God honors and recognizes what you did tonight. We as a family recognize and see your heart. And we're celebrating this with you. You're not standing here alone, as you can see. We are standing with you. God sees it and he honors you. And I want to quickly pray for you before the facilitators pray for you, just because I'm so excited. Father, we thank you for every person here in the front. We thank you for our family that is standing here and that is saying tonight, I will not submit to intimidation anymore. I will not submit to noise and distractions. I'm not going to submit to wanting to go and settle for McDonald's, Father. I thank you, Lord, for every person here that has a heart that wants to choose you, that has a heart that wants more, that wants to respond to the calling on their life. And thank you, Lord, that tonight, as every person that's praying for them, I pray for clarity in the name of Jesus. I pray for clear direction. I pray for order in their minds, that there will not be a noise anymore, that they will be able to hear your voice as clear as day. And so, Father, we celebrate with them. We celebrate tonight as witnesses that they are choosing you and they are choosing your calling, not the easy road, not the worship of the world or the things of this world. They are choosing you tonight, and we are celebrating with them. We acknowledge it, and we honor them for that. In Jesus' name, amen. The facilitators are going to pray for you. They're going to anoint you. I'm going to ask that maybe if you want, you guys can move to the sides. And we can just open up a space here in the front a little bit. Then for the rest of us, I want you to stand with me. If your legs are dead tired, you're welcome to sit. I want us to end off with a song tonight. I don't even know what we're singing. But I want us to end off in worship. Because I feel this is not the time to look at this mountain and go, oh my goodness, what a mountain. How high, how terrifying, I'm thirsty, all of those thoughts. This is the time to look up and go, I'm on my way somewhere. And the reward is going to be incredible because God is my reward. And his purposes for my life is great. And it's perfect timing and it's in perfect plan. And I'm excited about that. It's a time to rejoice about the plan that God has for us. So I want us to quickly pray together. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you did not plan for us to settle. That your desires and your plans for us is not second best, Lord. Thank you, Father, that your first and most important plan is to know you as our reward, as the love of our lives, and to reach out to that knowing that you are already reaching out to us. We cling onto you tonight. Thank you, Father, also that you have called us to have a kingdom-focused life. And we are excited about that, Father. We are excited to continue on this journey, looking around us and witnessing the people that are on this journey with us, thinking about our family and our other friends, Lord, that are also on this journey. Thank you, Father, for the community. Thank you for the blessing of church. Thank you for the blessing of family and friends. And thank you, Father, for you. Thank you for calling us to something great. Thank you for an eternity to spend with you. And I pray tonight in faith that each of us will be able to testify that we finished the race well. Not exhausted and not almost half there, but well, excited, overcomers, victorious.